Will you join me in thanking Gabby? Those were some good announcements, weren't they? Great job. More. Our grandson, Beckett, he's tiny. He's still developing his speech skills. He was over at our house last night, and I told him that I was going to talk about him during today's talk, and I just simply said the word, more. How many of you know the sign? How many of you know it? This one right there, okay? I just said, I'm going to talk about you tomorrow, more. And he was like, just like that. And the funny thing with that is that his father, our son Joel, back at that age, being the all-in guy that he is, from an early age on, if you said more, he would choose to do the sign, but he would do it very dramatically, like this, and then he would do this, and then he would do this. Because usually he was sitting at the dinner table and he wanted more food. But the great thing was his hands would be covered in spaghetti or whatever and it would go through his hair as he did that. It was all in, truly. Here's today's theme. God has more in store. God has more in store. His vision, God's vision for us is all about Jesus. His life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love, and work. More. Now, all of us know all about wanting more. The passion, the quest, the pursuit of more. Honestly, just show of hands if you'd like. Who'd like more time off and vacation this year? Who'd like some more time off? Vacation in a warm place. Oh, okay. Who would like more money? Just be honest. You're in church. More money. Okay, a few honest ones out there. All of you, your hands should probably be up. How about more snow? Oh, a few crazies in the crowd. How about more sleep? More sleep. Any of you who have little tiny ones, I see some of you out in the crowd, and you're like, please, 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 more sleep. Passion for more. For abundance, for improving, for growing, for advancing, for gaining. This more drive, properly held, is a God-like, God-given trait for our humanity, truly. In the sacred story, in the Bible, God blessed humans and called us to multiply, to flourish, to experience more. All across the grand story, it's about more. More goodness. And more return to the truly good life. Who doesn't want more peace and hope this year? More warm and beautiful, truly good memory making with family. More belonging. Actual belonging. In community with others, the kind of belonging that takes you into deeper places and more meaningful places. More. How about more love and mercy and grace and truth and greater holiness and strength in Christ Jesus? Ascending, our winter through early spring theme is all about more, really. The essence of climbing every step for ancient Israelite pilgrims headed to Jerusalem for festival, the essence of that was more. More trust. More steps higher. More progress in growing faith. We'll return next week to our winter and early spring Psalms of Ascent series. And I invite you to get ready for next time together. Feel free to read this week in Psalm 125, and come ready next week to dive in there. But today is designed for a special vision focus on Jesus, his vision, Jesus' vision for more disciples. And we're going to hear stories in a few moments and see baptisms, as well as think together about Jesus' vision this year for us as Manor Church, including the awesome opportunities to serve Christ and others with more genuine love. in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the apostle expresses who they truly were, who we really are in the family of God, our true identity in Christ. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians drop rich theology about the gracious work of Christ for us and in us and through us. And as Paul wraps up this section and then gets ready to move into very practical, everyday relational implications, which he does in Ephesians 4 through 6, the through us part, he supplies an amazing bridge, this bridge prayer about more. I invite you to hear that prayer and look on in a portion of it, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." That lets us know he's going into prayer mode right here. He bows his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, he says. Verse 16, "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you," and here's specifically how he's praying, "to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What a prayer for more. Paul, start off prayer right here, and notice it. It's not primarily for bigger numerical results or easier life circumstances. Easier feels good, right? And most of us spend a lot of time in our prayers praying for easier, and that's fine. That's good, for sure. And increased metrics in life, increased numbers can be healthy. In fact, for us here at Manor Church, we're praying boldly across Lent and Holy Week and Easter weekend. We're praying that we might, as a church, in coming weeks, influence 3,000 people, both already here in the mix and new. 3,000 people in the coming season. We're also praying to grow financially this year with 25 new individuals and families giving faithfully every month. Yes, 25 new individuals and families giving faithfully every month. That will mean so much. As God answers that prayer, and as we together say yes, that will mean so much for our momentum together as a church. And we're aiming for 50 more people to serve in new ways across 2026. 50 new people to serve in new ways in 26. Now, these are all good goals. Good goals, absolutely, yes. But notice Paul's Jesus-focused starter prayer is for inner strength. His focus is inner strength. Strength through the Spirit. Christ dwelling deeply in our hearts. A different kind of rootedness, a roots that grow and go down deep, grounded in the love of Christ, and that love flowing in us and through us toward others. And then there it is, the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ really is. Here is substantive, deeper than numbers kind of stuff. And that's good. This is the kind of growth that sustains us personally and propels real ministry, Jesus' mission, in and through Manor Church. Future growth is not first about expansion outward. It's about deepening inward. And then with Jesus-like intentionality for others, numerical increases follow. We deepen inward, and then with great intentionality, with love of Christ toward others, growth happens. Now see verses 20 and 21. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations." Look how far this reaches, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Vision is not just about where we're going for the future. Yes, vision always has the future in view, and that's vital, but it's about who we're seeing. We've sung about it all throughout this service already. Who we're seeing. For each of us personally, and our church overall, we do not truly grow because of clever strategies or really, really, really nice buildings or better programs. Again, all of that's good, but that's not how we truly grow. Followers of Jesus, his church all together grows as we see Jesus more clearly. And as we see Jesus more clearly and we love him more dearly, then our lives ripple. We listen to his voice. And we tap into and we rely on his power. And we courageously follow where he leads us in service to others. Our big endeavors for 2026, as have been discerned by Manor Church leaders here and our vision team, you know, they look like this. More Jesus-focused mission in Colombia. More Jesus-focused belonging with one another. A genuine community where we grow together in this belonging together. And more Jesus-focused loving service for the good of others. More Jesus-focused loving service for the good of others, for the advance of Jesus' kingdom in us and through us. This will be our guide this year. These will be guiding endeavors for us with a marvelous mix of strategies and opportunities unfolding across 2026. So stay tuned. There's a menu of serving opportunities. I invite you to take this card in hand. It's there nearby you. Go ahead, grab it, take it in hand, and take this with you today, please. You can hit up the QR code and see a whole menu of wonderful opportunities for serving more. Today's sacred truths call us to three vision movements. Three vision movements leading us to experience God's more in store, all about Jesus, in us and through us. We get to see Jesus for who he truly is. See Jesus for who he truly is, to be strengthened by his power within us, a daily, even hourly active strengthening within us. And we get to be sent, to be sent to serve others with his authority and presence. Not having to go it alone, not trying to make it happen on our own, but because of his authority and his presence. Our vision about life can get very cloudy, full of foggy distractions. Trying to drive in fog is horrible, right? I mean, is there anybody who actually likes to drive in fog? I don't see a hand up in the place. It's a pain, right? It's crazy what it does. There are times trying to drive right here to church, to Manor Church, the fog can be so dense. You can't even see the steeple or the big cross on the front out here. Anybody experienced that? You know what I'm talking about? It gets foggy, it's dense, it's thick, woo. And life can seem like that. Life can seem like that. Vision fog comes with the wrong pursuit of more. More selfish money. More self-absorbed power. Kind of power that harms other people. More prestige. Vision fog comes from letting anxious worry overwhelm our thoughts. Vision fog comes from only living to please other people. Mistakenly, in foggy ways, thinking it's all about the applause and the accolades of others, and that's what we think we have to live for, their recognition. Vision fog comes from an over-contentedness, apathy, ho-hum, even overindulgence in the good life. The good life's good until it's not, because you're just living for that. Vision fog comes from letting our addictive vices get the best of us. Vision fog comes from too tiny thinking, limiting God, underthinking what he can do in your life and in our church. underthinking, limiting God. Like you could really do that, but we do it and our vision gets foggy. Vision fog can even come from too much focus on the past. How God worked back in the day. Oh, back in the day. There's a scene in Matthew 17 where that happens. Matthew chapter 17, this scene is both impressive and honestly somewhat humorous. Listen to this. Top of chapter 17, Matthew says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves." So see, we're still ascending today. We're still on this ascent. They go up this high mountain. Verse 2 says, "And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him." And then verse 4 says, "And Peter said," now, whenever we see that, those words, that said within the scriptures, "And Peter said," get ready. Any of you who've read and you know what, when Peter says something, at this point in his life, he's probably sticking his foot in his mouth. He's probably blah, 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 blah about something that he shouldn't have even started talking about. And that's what he does right here. Note what he says. "Lord, it is good that we are here." Like it wouldn't be good. Jesus led you up this mountain. You're standing there with Moses and Elijah like it wouldn't be good. But he has to say it. "Yeah, Peter, okay. It's good that we are here. If you wish," it gets even better how he blabs. He says, "If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." If you were Jesus, you had to be like, "What are you thinking?" And then verse 5 starts and says, "And he was still speaking." In other words, there's other stuff he keeps blabbing that we don't even get told. It's like Matthew's writing it down and he's like, "I don't need to say that part." Peter just kept blabbing. He was still speaking. "When behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces." Here, this gets comical. "They fell on their faces and were terrified." I would too, you would too. But look what happens, verses 7 and 8. "But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.'" Now pause right there for a moment. Some of us, those 5 words are exactly what you need to carry yourself into February. So some of you, that's why you came today. Just those 5 words right there. Rise and have no fear. So even when you leave here today, when you rise from your seat, walk with these words from Jesus' lips. Rise and have no fear. But then notice this. "And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." See Jesus for who he truly is. See Jesus for who he truly is. Do you see him clearly for who he truly is? Do you see him as fully God, both just and loving? Loving and just. Do you see him as fully human, the Son of God who came to save you? Do you see him as king for your life? Your life, king for your life. Best leader ever, far better than the old great ones like Moses and Elijah. Do you see him as fully capable of doing something so future moving, so monumental, so full of forgiveness and grace and new mercies for your life and for others? Do you see Jesus like that? Vision always begins right here. Vision always begins right here with lifting our eyes to see Jesus only. Before plans, before numbers growth, before movement, we must see Jesus clearly. Listen to him and follow his lead. When churches lose vision, it's typically because individuals and our collective together has stopped gazing at Christ and started focusing on comfort and tradition and fatigue and fear. God does not give us vision so we can camp together, cozy up on the mountain. No. He reveals Jesus so that we can follow him back down and into the world, changed and ready to serve others. Here's why the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, he had just given Hebrews 11 and this just catalog of faithful, faith-filled, faith-walking people. He says, since we've got this huge crowd of witnesses surrounding us, witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And then verse two. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. 2026 is your time, my time, our time to seriously lay aside what weighs us down, lay aside what weighs you down, holds you back, all that's foggy and sinful and self-consuming, and instead look to Jesus, the one who endured the cross, took the nails out of all out love for you and for me. He took the shame and the agony of that cruel tree so that he might know the joy of strengthening us with so much more, and so that you might know the joy of truly following Jesus. That more, Paul describes in Ephesians 3. The Lord has more in store. The Lord has more in store. His vision for us, it's all about Jesus, his life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love and work. I will never forget a Friday night. I was 12 years old. It was a block of years when our family lived in Homer, Michigan. And Dad and Mom loaded my little sister and I in our trusty, rusty T-Bird. Dad explained that he had heard about this new pizza place that had just opened in Coldwater. He explained that we were going to eat pizza for just $10. All of us. The four of us, just $10. And he said it would be more pizza than we'd ever eaten, all for just $10. Now, Ken Pletcher, my dad, was into this business of more, always more for less. And so the idea that you could buy all this pizza for $10. And so we drove there. Dad went in. He ordered up. And we all waited out in the car. Dad came back with this long, flat cardboard box wrapped in white paper with orange print on it. He handed it to me in the back seat. Our T-Bird had one of those really big back windows that you could fit like five children stacked the right way in the back if need be. And he said, here, put the pizza back there. We're going to go for a drive and you can dole out more and more and more pizza as everybody wants it. I thought I was the king of pizza. I sat there and worked at doling out pizza, and I was just amazed. I was like, this is the best. I can keep eating more and giving more. And you might have guessed it already. That was my first ever experience with Little Caesars. Pizza, pizza. More pizza. For each of us personally, for each of us, and together as Manor Church, we are called to more. We are called to more as we see Jesus for who he truly is. See Jesus for who he truly is. Let this be your year in the Gospels. Some of you have heard me share it already, and you're already doing this. You can still jump in. Some of you have done it already in January, but I want to urge you, if you missed it, you can still jump in for February and March. Dive into Matthew's gospel, the first gospel account in the New Testament. And then in April and May and June, you can read and listen in Mark. And then in July and August and September in Luke. And then quarter four, we're going to journey in John. And so I want to encourage you, you can daily be reading in these places. And as you do that, you will see Jesus like never before. And if you're choosing to do that, and a bunch of you have already done it, but if there's still time to jump in, if you're choosing to do that, let me know that you're all in with doing that. See Jesus for who he truly is. See Jesus for who he truly is. And then be strengthened by his power within us. Be strengthened by his power within us. We tap into his power. One of the best ways is daily in prayer. We tap in prayer, both personally and with others. Every Sunday down front right here, you have the opportunity post-service to come and join in prayer. You can pray each day on your own, plus with family, in a life group, on Wednesday nights, in seminar time. We'll have some prayers this Wednesday night woven in with the sweet worship time Gabby and others are planning. Incredible opportunity to plug into his power, to plug into his power within us. And I want to warmly invite you to consider praying like this today. I mean, you got to make this your own, but to pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I want 2026 to be a year of more, my year of more. More of you, please. More mercy. More forgiveness. More tenderness. More holy life change. More devotion to follow you. More trust and growing faith. More energy to truly influence others, all for your glory, Jesus. Thank you. And I pray this with anticipation and with confidence. You will empower me and all manner church. In your gracious name I pray, amen. To see Jesus for who he truly is, to be strengthened by his power within us daily in prayer, and to be sent to serve others with his authority and presence. Be sent to serve others with his authority and presence. A couple times scattered across 26, we're going to have Serve More Sundays. They'll be scattered across the year. Serve More Sundays, focusing on special opportunities, how to be better equipped in serving in special opportunities, how you can consider getting involved to influence others. And so today, again, I just invite you to take this card with you, hit up the QR code, and tap into ways to serve. And you can check out the big board as you go out. There are more details there on the big board as well. Be sent to serve. And take heart, you don't do that all on your own. You do that in concert, in community, in belonging with others, and you do that in the power of God, able to help you, empower you to serve. So don't let that scare you. Right now, we get to hear four people's faith stories, and then we're going to get to see them be baptized. I'm going to invite them to come, the whole gang, and join me on stage right now. As they're coming, I just want to stress to you, baptism, why? Why? Just a nice religious ceremony? Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's sweet. Absolutely. But it's so much more. And what's this really all about? Well, see Jesus and the disciples in Matthew 28, in verses 16 through 20. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain. I told you today would still be about ascending. They go up a mountain, to which Jesus had directed them. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. If anybody in the crowd is still doubting, you're in good company. It's okay. Jesus can handle it. Some of those early disciples were still doubting. Jesus came and said to them, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. In other words, help other people who don't yet know Jesus and follow him. That's the essence of making disciples. It's helping people who didn't yet know Jesus, get to know him and follow him, make disciples of all peoples. When it says all nations, yes, it means round the globe, and it means your neighbor and your coworker and dear folks in your family and others. And even as Gabby said earlier, your enemies, especially those. Baptizing them, here we go, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Again, we don't do this on our own. This is something Jesus accomplishes. He empowers us. So we get to hear four stories today, and we're going to start with Zoe. Let's welcome Zoe. She's going to share her story with us.